You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It's Friday. We're heading into a weekend where you may be going out to see the movies, and you just might be going out to see this new movie.
How am I supposed to be a zombie?
Pretty much just be a lifeless ghoul with no soul, dead eyes, scary. Did you ever have Miss Mullen?
For English?
Yeah. Kind of like her, but hungry for human flesh. Like, she wants to turn somebody into a zombie. Because that's kind of what zombies do.
That is the new film from J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg. Super 8. Yeah, sounds pretty good, eh? There's a group of preteens. It's the late 1970s. They see this train crash, this spectacular train crash, while they're making a low-budget film. We're going to talk about the actual benefits of the movie in a moment. But first, I want to bring in Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, and Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway, both co-hosts of our podcast Movie Date, and talk about the promotion for this film. Rafer, you particularly wanted to talk about this because you feel like the way they're promoting this film isn't working, right?
Well, that seems to be the case. I mean, they kept everything about this film under wraps for so long. Even up until April, they were only releasing this very cryptic one-line synopsis about what the movie was about. The trailers would only really show you, a scene of that opening train crash, but you never saw much about the characters. You never saw much about the the creature, we'll call it, that emerges from the train crash. And I think what eventually happened, according to some reports, is that the movie just fell off people's radar. And, you know, by earlier this week, interest in the film was very, very low. And so Paramount actually had to do a huge about-face. Last night, Thursday, they had a bunch of screenings for the film all over the country, encouraging people to Twitter information about the film to their friends, hoping to, I think, build buzz and get some information out there that they, I think, failed to get out there.
Yeah, in this information age where people are constantly sending stuff back and forth, I guess the whole thing of people being completely obsessed with a secret didn't really work for them.
Right. And I think what's funny about this this Twitter campaign they're doing is, if you've ever been to any kind of sneak preview, if you've gotten an invite, you know, from off the street from a guy who's handing out flyers, a lot of times what they do is they will actually confiscate your cell phone. They will bag your cell phone at the gate, so to speak, so that you can't tweet, so that you can't send a picture, so that you can't, you know, blog something and spoil something. So here Paramount is, you know, taking the exact same opposite tack.
Well, since we're talking about promotions, before we talk about the glories of this movie, let's talk about, you know, movie promotions, because there have been some stinkers out there besides just this one that haven't worked. And I have a trivia question about one particular promotion. At one point, there was a movie studio that helped promote their movie by inventing a film critic and inventing fake quotes from this film critic and then putting them on their posters. Which studio was it?
I remember this scandal, and I remember when it broke. I got to tell you, I can't remember which. I just take a guess and say Fox.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kristen, you got any ideas?
I have no idea at all.
I have no clue.
We have a clip from a movie made by this studio, if you want to play that really quick as a hint.
Okay.
I have the pride, the privilege, nay, the pleasure of introducing to you a knight.
A Knight's Tale.
Sired by knights.
Anyone remember who made that movie?
That there was a Knight's Tale.
Knight's Tale,
yeah. A class action lawsuit claimed they were duped into seeing A Knight's Tale by this
studio. Duped? That was a great movie. I loved Knight's Tale, but I can't remember
the movie. The movie studio was Sony.
You'll get your $8 back, but you'll never get the 2.5 hours of your life that you wasted on Knight's Tale.
That's right. But let's talk about the film itself. Kristen, you went to go see Super 8. So, maybe the promotion is bad, but is the movie bad?
I loved it.
What?
Yes. I laughed. You know that idiot who's always in the back of the theater screaming and crying through the whole movie and you just wish that person would shut up?
You were that idiot.
That was me. I was that person. Yes.
No kidding. I'm surprised. I thought the movie was really bad. I thought the movie was hugely, hugely disappointing, actually.
What?
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh,
yeah.
Rafer.
I was very excited. I mean, it's supposed to be a Spielberg homage of sorts, you know, very, very E.T., a little bit Goonies, a little bit Close Encounters, and I just thought it was all so overly familiar and old. It felt very tired, very dated to me. I thought the kid actors were phenomenal. The kid actors were quite good, and Elle Fanning is really good.
Oh, she was fantastic. They did such a great job of creating their own world, talking like kids, arguing like kids, talking over each other.
Some of that was fantastic.
Yeah. The kids were so great. And Rafer, I have to disagree with you. Just because you're playing homage to something doesn't mean that it's being derivative. I thought it was very good.
Really? Wow.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Kristen, you actually felt like it was in a good way reminiscent of E.T.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was like E.T.
and kids on an adventure.
Yeah, and the best parts about Lost, too, were also in there, I thought. I really enjoyed it. And I screamed. I thought a lot of it was incredibly shocking and scary and terrifying. That train crash scene just went on and on.
The train crash scene is pretty magnificent at the beginning.
It's
a good, strong opener. That might be why I think the rest of the film just kind of fizzled out for me. The film becomes sort of a question of mechanics. Well, how do we get the dad in place to the compound? And then how can we get the girl so that she needs to be rescued by the boy? And
Are you giving stuff away, Rafer?
What about the magic in your heart that you feel when you watch the movie?
I was looking desperately for that magic in this film. I couldn't find it.
Rafer's gone from train crash to train wreck, I think. That's my takeaway there.
All right. Okay. So Super 8, I guess you guys are going to be tweeting about this movie, and Kristen will be saying go see Super 8, and Rafer will be saying avoid it.
Yeah, I'll be saying stay away.
Right, but if we're speaking about Twitter, you know, today is Unfollow Friday for here at The Takeaway. After a week or more of Wienergate, we feel like The Takeaway is now who you unfollow, who you stop following. So this is Unfollow Friday. Kristen, do you have anybody you would unfollow this week?
That would be the Governator. That also known as Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would unfollow him. I've had enough of his shenanigans for now.
It's interesting. Ray, for anybody you would unfollow?
Along similar lines, I might say John Edwards. That whole story's been a real bummer to me.
Is he tweeting?
The more that comes out. I don't know.
I'm not even sure he's tweeting. Yeah.
Well, we want you out there to tell us who you will unfollow on our Unfollow Friday. You can tweet it to us with the hashtag UFF. That's U, umbrella, F as in Frank, UFF. It's Unfollow Friday, guys. Thanks.